the emphasis of this go-around with the spirit realm sense realm course is in relation to our inward nature and how the spirit realm and the sense realm applies to that. And to represent that tonight, today, whatever time zone you're in and whatever part of the world you're in, we have here the cross with a pig on one side and a sheep or a lamb on the other. And so we're hoping that the cross, where we were crucified with Jesus in a very real and not doctrinal way, brings forth the nature of the lamb in our attitudes, our reactions, our meditations, the real stuff, the stuff that gives the Father his son and a feast, and a like the prodigal son story, a feast that makes the Father so happy he gets up on the table and dances. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Let's give the Father his son. But if the cross doesn't go in and do its work, that finished work, finishing that flesh in us, the Father doesn't want to have bacon or ham. No pig nature outside the camp with that. So we're going to look into these things tonight so we can give the Father the desire of his heart, his lamb, the Lamb of God, in real ways, just as real can be, because Jesus is more than our ministry. He's more than our belief system. He's more real than the earth and everything in it and everything that was created. He is reality. He is the truth. He is substance, spirit, and life by which all things consist and were created. He is. Spirit realm reality is reality. And we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be deceived away from life. We don't want to let the trappings of this created realm and these created vessels that have eyes and ears that fell at the fall take us away from the one who is everything and is in us now, or in him. Wouldn't it be terrible to squander our fortune, Jesus is our fortune, on a life of sense realm treasures, being deceived or just robbed willingly of the most wonderful, wonderful way we could have ever existed by the Son? You know, each day is another morning, a gift of God, just a brand new opportunity to give the Father his Son. Wow! We may go another day to fail, just another day to go to work, another day to deal with these children, or my migraine headaches, or this old body of mine, or my soul. I mean, another day to fight the devil. What? But really, it's another day to give the Father his Son. And everything that we were dreading, like fighting the devil or that old wayward soul or that old achy body or that person that's driving you bonkers, those can be the altars upon which we say, I will not count my life precious. I will not feed the pig nature. I will choose life, which is the Lamb of God in us. We'll find him inside the house. We are the house. And we'll bring him up and we'll lay him on the altar of our heart. And we'll let the Father breathe him in. No toxicity, no virus, just sweet savor of the Lamb. The best breathing treatment ever. The sweet savor of the Lamb off the altar of our heart. Wouldn't you love to give that kind of therapy to your Father, to God, by letting the Son of God release through your attitudes and your thoughts? In the middle of all these enemies trying to block him from coming out, trying to block the gift from making it to the Father, wouldn't you just love to use all those adversaries and enemies and things that are trying to take your soul down, 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 and use them as tools of love to say, this is a costly sacrifice. I will not offer that which did not cost me. I bought this by denying my soul and choosing life instead of death. So, Father, this wasn't easy. This cost me, and I had to press into you and make choices and love you more than my own soul life, and love you more than what I think and what I see and what the senses drive me to believe is true. I had to press in to the spirit of your words, to the truth of your heart, against what I see and think and feel and what the enemy tells me and what all my emotions tell me and what all my carnal thoughts tell me. And I had to choose life. I had to choose the spirit realm. I had to choose God, and I had to marry him in that moment, join with him and breathe him in and let him rise up from within me and let that come forth out of me. And wow! Now, if that isn't a wonderful day, a wonderful day, maybe one of the hardest days, maybe not a pleasant day in sense realm language, but in spirit realm language, it was a beautiful eternal day because the sun came forth, and it wasn't easy. It cost choices, pressing in, loving him, really choosing from the heart, not allowing our own sense realm faith and our inner that faith of the carnal mind and of the soulish sense realm, natural man that cannot receive the things of God, just take over and rob us of the inner man that is in us, Christ, who is our life, and his faith, and the core of our being, where we are joined to the Lord in one spirit, not letting that smother that life that is Jesus in us, not letting that soul and sense realm reality put out the candle of the Lord in our heart, dim it or put it out, or pour dirt over the coals of the altar that should be lit night and day like a priest, making sure the fire never goes out so the lamb can always be going up off the altar of our heart. You know, these things aren't doctrines, and yeah, we can see incredibly beautiful, God-breathed, spirit-revealed, wonder, awe-inspiring realities as we search the scriptures for Jesus, but we can never be satisfied with simply seeing, even by the Spirit. We can't be satisfied until those realities are life out of us. I mean, that's when the joy of the Lord hits. That's when you are full, that you might be filled, that your joy might be full. You know, that's when it's real. And that's why we're learning the spirit realm and the sense realm, because we don't want to learn more things. It's not going to change any. We want to be with him. We want him to be our reality. We do. And we're dividing the realms so we can choose life. So we can choose life. And so I just want to say, you know, with you, each one of us, I think even as we begin our gathering just of coming to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and opening our hearts so we can receive with meekness the engrafted Word written into the fleshly tables of our heart by the Spirit, so that we are changed into his image from glory to glory. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but this is the ministry of the new covenant, as Paul shared it therein, that we might be changed into his image, that Christ might be formed in us, that it would no longer be I, but Christ who lives in me. And you know, sometimes that can be so common, because many of us have been around those teachings for so many years that we could almost say them in our sleep. But what a wonderful thing when it's no longer teaching, but our life. I mean, really that. And we have such a wonderful Father. He's working everything together so that we can be formed by the Son, that the Son can be formed in us. We can be conformed to his image. It's all working for the ones that love him. We have a Father who does that. He knows how to do it where we don't. And we can see his hands in our daily lives just using all things. And if we allow the Lord to awaken our spirits to the wonderful things that he's doing in all things that he's using, and even the things that we think are like awful and distractions and curses and things that the enemy is trying to use. Or you know what I'm talking about. We all have our areas. But if somehow we can begin to see the eternity, the golden thread that the Father's trying to use to weave that fabric of daily life into the eternal tapestry of his Son formed in us, man, all of a sudden we have new vision. We have new purpose. We're able to be with the Lord with incredible purpose and heart in the middle of those things that used to just take us down into depression or discouragement and exhaustion. And you know, that's what the sense realm does. Just tries to zap us of life. Oh, so I just pray that the Lord will encourage our hearts to turn from death to life, from the sense realm to the spirit realm. And I just feel in my heart tonight to pray maybe for all of us. I know me, I'll include myself in this. For all of us, that each one of us can receive the spirit of life in regards to the areas where we feel like we're being distracted, or the general ruts that keep us from really being with the Lord each day. And letting it be part of eternity, part of the spirit realm reality, instead of being gobbled up of the earth and stolen away. So if you're okay with that and it's in your heart, I'll just start with a prayer along those lines. And then we're going to look at some wonderful things in regards to some practical things about discerning life and death, which is what I believe the Lord has for us tonight. And I pray that it just edifies your hearts in real ways. So Lord, we just come to you now and we say, we don't want our days to be swallowed up of the earth and the sense realm and the things that keep us from you. Lord, we don't want those things to separate us in our hearts, in our faith, in our minds, in our inner man. Lord, we want all things to work together to bring us into your image through Jesus just being so real, more real than what we see and feel and think and do and all the earth says. But that from whence it all came, God himself, you would shine brighter and brighter like the noonday sun. For the path of the righteous is like that. You just shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Lord, your light is light. You are light. You are truth. You are truth. Truth is greater than darkness. Light is greater than darkness. Reality is greater than shadow. The realm from whence all things came and all will return is greater than the created things that try to dictate reality to us. The creature is not greater than the creator. We bow our knees to God. We submit our senses to the spirit from whence they were created and to whom they shall return. And we ask, Lord, that the purpose for which we were birthed and born again and formed out from your wounded side and filled with the breath of life and the seed of God would not fall on fallow ground, Lord, or rocky ground, Lord, or ground by the wayside or riddled with thorns and thistle. Lord, that we'd be good ground and that the word of life, the seed of God, could grow. The spirit of the Lamb could form. And his reality could overtake the shadows and shine out of that dark place, even our hearts, until he's coming forth in real ways. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to each one, Lord, right where they're at, Lord, tomorrow, the days to come. Lord, let this be more than a class. Let it be something of really, really, really getting closer to you and being with you. Father, move by your spirit. It's not about us or our prayers. It's about your heart. Grant us according to thine own heart, Father. Let us pray for one another that this would be real, more real than ever before, Lord. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for letting us be together in this way, Lord. In this way for you, Lord. Oh, we love you. We love you together. We love you as one. We love you for you. And we embrace your reality, Lord, in new ways. In new ways. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I felt to read some and also assign for homework, wonderful, wonderful homework for the students, from the book that Pastor Randy wrote many, many years ago called The Ashes of the Red Heifer. Maybe all of you or many of you have read this book. I've read it many times. It's always captured my heart. Geraldine, I can hear you saying, I love that book. It's captured my heart because there's so much eternity in it. And I would like for those who want to, but particularly that the students who are enrolled in this course would read through this booklet. It is on the Friends of Life and the Spirit website. And Mike Gentry, last year, made an audiobook of the Ashes of the Red Heifer. So if you're too exhausted to read, you can listen to it. Praise the Lord. Put your ear pods in, take a walk in the fresh air, and listen to The Ashes of the Red Heifer. Does life get any better? Yes, it does. When we become those ashes by the Lamb. But first we have to be seated by the Word. So what I'm going to do is just touch on a few paragraphs that are in the book, just to give us a sense of what I feel like possibly the Spirit is emphasizing for us in this gathering. And I have this little phrase that kind of came to me when I was meditating on tonight's gathering of Spirit Realm, Sense Realm. And the little phrase is, forgive me, I have allergies, my nose is itching, is deceived by death. Deceived by death. That's a good one to just think about. Deceived by death. And so I'm going to just read a little bit. I'll put my glasses on here and away we go. And maybe just listen and we'll discuss some of it. And then if you can read it on your own time more thoroughly, you can really meditate and ponder and let the Spirit speak to you. So it still remains a mystery to many as to what exactly is death and what is the true essence and function of that which is God's life. Without the ability just to discern the difference between life and death, even today someone could actually touch death while at the same time pursuing life. It was this dilemma that Eve was faced with in the Garden of Eden as she determined to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She was unable to discern between life and death. The fruit appeared good in her eyes, but when she partook of this tree, she was brought into death. As we will discover later, the knowledge of good and evil always leads to death. So from that paragraph, you know, it's just, we can't always discern what death is. And that's because we're deceived by the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, we've been speaking about these two trees and partaking of them since our first class. Because of that, we partake of death, sometimes thinking we're partaking of life because it was good or righteous, but it wasn't the tree of the Lamb, the tree of life, the tree of the slaughtered Lamb and of his death. So it's wonderful teaching, isn't it? It's just so deep. Wow, we're just so deep. We really don't care about that. The question is, what are we eating from? What are we eating? And what nature is being fed in us? The same exact things we started with. That's just where we're going to be in this course. We're going to continue and cry out for that to really be rooted in us, in our walk, in our inward parts, in our ways. So, yeah, discerning life from death in real time. Okay, let me read a little more. The scriptures declare that those who have touched death are unclean and must be kept from entering into the tabernacle. They have become defiled by the death they have touched. And here's a verse out of Leviticus, I believe. He who touches a dead body of any man shall be unclean for 7 days. He shall purify himself on the third day, and on the seventh day he'll be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he will not be clean. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man who is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled on him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. Actually, that's Numbers chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. To become defiled by death is to touch that which has died and has been put away by God. The act of touching involves making contact with something. Romans chapter 7 declares that a woman is loosed from the law of her husband if he is dead. Romans 6 states that our old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. To continue in a relationship of identification with that which has been crucified could be considered touching that which is dead and determined to be put away forever. The first Adam, the body of death, could be considered a corpse. To touch this corpse means you are identifying with it as if you are one with it. Those that have touched that which is dead in a matter of identification begin to receive another mind that will bear the image of that which God has put away. This process of defilement brings them into a condition of death that is not the dead in Christ, but those who are dead to God's way. They are dead to the nature of Christ because they are partaking of death rather than life. Okay, so let's just look at that for a second. Forgive me, these allergies are getting me tonight. So, that old man, Adam, the first Adam, the one that was the nature, our sin nature, that was crucified with Christ, if we continue to join with, because in Romans 7 it speaks of adjoining. I mean, we can say identification, but many consider the word identification as more of a doctrinal type thing, and we're not going for the doctrinal type thing tonight. We're hitting on real life. And in Romans 7, it's like a joining. There's a joining with that corpse. Because Romans 7 talks about a marriage. And that old marriage to the old man, that joining with that old nature, is annulled because of death. That old man died because he was crucified with Christ. So we're free to marry someone else besides that old nature, or join with. We're free to join with another nature. Yay! That means this. We're not married to that old pig nature anymore. Glory to God. Who wants to be married to this old pig nature? No. Nope, nope, nope. He died on the cross, was put away. Now we've got a new life. We're joined to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We're free. We are free to join with the Lamb of God and not be defiled by death. Isn't it wonderful? We're free. You say, I don't feel very free. That's because you're going by your feelings, and they're part of which realm? The sense realm. That's, don't go by that realm. It's not a good one. Mm-mm. It's not our friend. Because it tells us that what? This old dude is still alive, but he's really dead. Dead with Christ. And we are supposed to not just identify. Yes, identify with. But so much more than identification. Because Romans 7 talks about a marriage. We're supposed to join with that new life that was put inside of us. And not join with that old life that was crucified with Christ. Now, the dilemma comes when what? Well, let's just bring our two little examples with us here. All right, we're having fun, I can tell. Okay. The dilemma comes when the sense realm, represented by Mr. Pig, who is representing the old nature that was crucified with Christ. So, when Mr. Old Nature says, I feel critical. I feel better than everybody. I feel like I'm right. My opinion is correct. Everybody else is wrong.
I feel superior. I feel depressed and inferior. I feel like I'm a pity party all by myself, and I just, you know, me, me, and more me. All about me. What will benefit me? Me, me, me.
And he goes by what he sees, what he feels, what he thinks, and all the motions of sin that work in his members. Yeah. So this dude's really messed up. He's our sense realm buddy. Not really our buddy, but some people hang around with him and join with him in their thoughts, in their views. They take his feelings as their feelings. They take his thoughts and motivations and intentions as their thoughts. They join with him. They marry him. Now, how do you marry such an awful, awful thing? Agreeing and receiving. Partaking. Remember, Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She did not look up at the apple and go, I identify with that apple. And by faith, I identify that me and that apple are joined. Nope. She took it, says that in Genesis, she ate it. And when it was inside of her, she spiritually died. Hallelujah. Not really, but look at the process. She joined with it because there was an entrance of the life of that apple into her being through partaking. Now, Numbers and Leviticus, as well as Romans 7, say when we touch death, when we join with something that's dead, when we partake of death, we are defiled. We're defiled. We're deceived. We're outside the realm of life, and many times we don't know it. Okay, so this little guy is going to try to deceive us, just like who tried to deceive Eve. I hear some of you saying, the serpent, amen. The devil tried to deceive Eve. That's even worse than the old pig. That's where the old pig came from. The devil tried to deceive Eve by having her go with what? That's right, her senses. You be like God. It's good to eat. Look at it. He's trying to appeal to her, to her senses, her even in some ways her desire for God, but it, not really, because it's to be like God. It's good. It's good to eat. Look at it. He's using all these sense realm manipulations and methods to deceive her into joining with it. How many of you feel like maybe even right now, maybe even today, that old serpent has tried to deceive you into partaking of this old, not this thing, but the real one, that old dead corpse that was crucified with Christ, that old man, that old nature of self, by using the senses and using them in such a way where you thought, well, I have to join with it. It's what I'm thinking right now. It's what I feel right now. This is looks right to me. I mean, I can feel it. It looks right. It makes sense. Hello, what more is there? What more is there? The spirit realm is what more there is. I don't know about no spirit realm. I mean, I see it. I think it. I feel it. It's pretty real. It's extremely real to the natural man who's not even born again yet, who lives by only his senses. But to a son of God who has, I mean, a son of God by Christ, a born again vessel that has Christ in them, let's put it that way. We are more than just our senses. We are more than just the natural man who exists by his senses. This is all 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which we looked at last week. We have Jesus in us. We are one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are more than just what we were before. Jesus is in us. And we were born again of incorruptible seed, born by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, we are spirit beings by virtue of union with Christ, who is now our life, who is spirit and life. He is not an old nature that functions by his senses. Oh, this is confusing. Well, it's wonderfully clarifying. in the most practical ways, when you learn how to divide your soul from your spirit, in the sense realm from the spirit realm. And that's why this course was such a godsend when Pastor Randy cried out to the Lord to help the culturally deprived class of which I was in, and probably the deepest deprived of, and still need. Praise the Lord. Let's just get down to the simplicity of being in Christ, and Christ being in us, and the realm of whence that new life comes and functions. Let's do this. Let's not be ashamed to be practical and basic and get it for real. So kind of like that's what we're doing here tonight. Yeah. So we've got Mr. Pig. He's trying to entice us to not just identify, but partake. Some of us really like pork. Let's just call that sense realm reality. No. We need to develop a taste for slaughtered lamb right here. And that's going to be Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain, that is always slain, who is in us. And he is our spirit realm reality. He's our new life. He came in at new birth. He's there now, whether you know it or not, in your senses, whether you feel it or not in your senses, whether you understand it or not in your senses. God put his son in you when you received him into your heart, when you were born again. Christ is in you, and he is different than that old pig nature that we had before he came in there. He functions different. This dude, he functions by the senses, but he was crucified with Christ. Let's put him on the cross, dead with Christ. In fact, let's bury him so we don't even touch that old defiled. He's gone. He's buried out of sight. Burial. Bury him. He was buried with Christ, not just crucified, so that we wouldn't touch or join with him anymore. Thank God for that burial. But now we have a life. His name is Jesus. His nature is slaughtered lamb. He is in us, and he does not function by the senses. He functions by the spirit, by the nature of who he is in us, and who he ever was and will be in eternity in God as one with the Father. Hallelujah. We have to learn how to live by the Lamb who is in us. He's different. He's different, and we are, what does the Bible call us? A new creation, a new species. We've been metamorphosized and coming forth in his image. We have his ways in us now. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind by his life. All things are made new. He makes all things new. Behold, I make all things new. That's what he said. Well, what is the newness? Well, part of it is the way he rebuilds us in his image. And we all need to grow, not just in the knowledge of the Lord, but yes, in knowing the Lord in his ways in us, so he can function by his spirit and nature through us, instead of us being trapped and Christ in us being trapped by our senses being the only thing that's real to us, as if we were never born again of the Spirit, that the Lamb was never in us as our new life and way, and we live by that old pig nature and let Jesus the Lamb be buried where the pig should be buried. That old nature, that dead corpse is what should be buried, but the Lamb gets so buried. Well, we become so defiled by joining with the old creation, old nature, old man that was crucified with Christ, touching it, joining with it, and the death of it just filling us so much that we bring forth the beast attitudes, all the things that are so warring against the Lamb who should be our life. And look at how key to that the sense realm is. They who are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. That's Romans chapter 8, which comes after Romans chapter 7. The mind of the flesh is death. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Here's my question. Are we after the flesh? Or are we after the Spirit? I'm not trying to be cute or put on a show right now. I'm asking you. And I'm asking me. Are we after the flesh? Or are we after the Spirit? Let's just take a moment. We're struggling with all these sense realm thoughts and emotions and old creation ways and dead corpse feelings and the motions of sin and death of an old crucified corrupt man that was buried with Christ because he was crucified and rejected and done away. Are we after the flesh? Are we still one and married to the old man? Is that really what you believe? Because if we are, then we have every right to exist only by our senses, by what we feel, by what we think, by what we see, by our thoughts, by our perceptions, by all of our senses. That's our realm, that's our way, that's how we're functioning, because we're the natural man. Okay? So if that's the case, you're not born again. And go ahead and believe everything you feel, see, hear, think, and perceive, smell. Not that it's true, but that's all you've got, so good luck. But if you will really believe you're born again, if you know you're born again, if you know Jesus came into your heart and made you brand new, if you know that happened and he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, then you are no longer of the sense realm. You belong to Jesus, and Jesus is your life. Christ is the life of the believer. Yeah, I mean, he's not the doctrinal life of the believer. He's the nature of the believer. And he doesn't function by the sense realm. He doesn't function by the knowledge of good and evil. He functions by every word his Father speaks. Functions by the nature of the divine nature, the crucified nature, the self-giving nature. Now we're entering into the realm of true beauty. Now we're in the unspeakable, glorious realm of the Lord himself, of God himself, that I cannot see. I, sense realm eyes, cannot see. Sense realm ears cannot hear. Natural man hearts cannot comprehend the things that God has prepared for those who love him, things that only the Spirit who has searched out the deep things of God can bring into our spirits, for they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. We talked about it last week. Oh, the things that are prepared for those who are born again are not attained to and known by the senses, but by the Spirit. So what does that mean? We have to function as new creation, new critters, a new species. We're aliens. I remember when I first got born again, there was a song. My roommate, who ended up being with me in the first group at the Bible school, Mallory, she had some band. I think it was called Petra. It was, yes, and actually, nonetheless. And they had a song called We Are Aliens, We Are Foreigners. And the whole song had to do with, you know, we're not of this world, we're aliens, we don't belong here. And I remember turning that song on man, it could have been 100 times. Skipping class, which I'm not saying I should have done in college, it was irresponsible, but I was dancing in my dorm room to Jesus instead. And I danced and danced to that song because I was so excited and in a state of just shocked joy that I was an alien. I didn't belong to this earth. I was no longer part of this world. I was one with Jesus. I was raised up and one and see, we're one. And he's in me, I'm in him. And oh my God, it's real. And oh my God, it just, wow. I'm an alien. I'm a whole new kind of creature because Jesus is in me. I mean, I'm born again. I'm born again. I mean, this ain't a doctrine to me. I'm born again. The old has passed away and Jesus is in me. And oh, Lord, and I'm an alien. I don't function like these people down here no more. And I mean, I was just a baby. I didn't know anything. But I knew inside of me I was an alien and all things truly have become new. I had discovered all the newness that already happened in my heart when Jesus came in, but it was true. And I remember, oh my God, I just wanted to explode. I just wanted to explode. I am born again. I was one of the most annoying people to run into on the campus. So super annoying. I was in shocked belief that everyone who hadn't realized that please, we're supposed to be born again. This creation, this way, what? Listen, this isn't just good news. You have to hear this. It's unbelievable. You can be born again. You can literally become a new creature, a whole new creature, like an alien species that's God's species. Yes, no, it is not religion. It is not doctrines. I'm not talking about identifying with some thought doctrine. No, this is real. You will be changed by the Spirit of the living God. His nature will be put in you. You will be completely different on the inside. You will have an alien life form in you, an alien life form called Jesus who will take over your being, and you will function by his alien life, who functions totally different. He's a completely different kind of creation. You will not be like a human anymore. These people down here, they're completely different than this species. They have a whole different way of functioning. They think different. They think different. They see different. They smell different. They taste different. They think different. They're all together different. They're different species. Wow. Get him on the inside and you'll understand. The Spirit will come in there and he'll start forming that alien child within you called the Lamb of God. He will form him and he will grow in his alien life form. His alien life form will take over your being and you will start becoming an alien along with him. Your thoughts will change from human thoughts to alien lamb thoughts. Your mind will change from a human mind to an alien slain lamb mind. Your eyes will see different by the Spirit. You'll have lamb's eyes, alien eyes. You will be all together different. You'll be from a different realm, a different, not just planet, but the realm that made all the planets and by whom all the planets consist. He is the head, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, the dead creation that's no longer the life. The Father is done with it. He's done with that first creation that functions by its senses. I just couldn't believe everyone wasn't flooding into the churches, that they could all just fall before the living God and be born again and have this new life in them that was going to transform them by his indwelling being and make them new, functioning by his life. What? And then I got a little shocked over the years as I realized all these people that have that alien life in them are living by the old human creation. They live by their senses. And they have that child, that seed, that alien life in them. They don't live by it. And they wonder why they're confused. two different kinds of creatures are warring inside of them. That's Romans 7. There's just the war. The carnal mind is at war with the spirit. It's an alien life called the slaughtered lamb. He's like, I want to lay my life down. I want to live by the spirit realm reality. I want to go low and just esteem others better and pour out my lifeblood. And this other life is saying, but I see how mean they are. They're wrong. They hurt me. That isn't the right thing to do. That isn't the just thing to do. I can't love them. They're my enemy. No, no, no. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Did you understand that? I don't go by what I see. I go by the nature of God. I give my life. They war. And if we think that we're the old and still joined with it, we're defiled by death. Because we're living by an old life that is no longer who we are. We need to learn to live by the Lamb, who is our nature now, our life now. Become partakers of the divine nature, not partakers of the old tree of death through our senses. Time to let the axe be laid to the root of that tree and stop going by our senses and start living by this no longer alien creature. He's now our life. The sense realm should be alien. This world should be foreign. And he should be home. He should be how we exist, who we are now. And don't you know it? Don't you feel it in your core, in your spirit, in your inner man where he dwells? Don't you want to let him be who he is and function the way he functions from the beginning, before you were even created, but now he's in you? Let him be. Let him be the kind of creature he is through you. Let him be that in you as your life. When he is that, we won't be beasts in our attitudes and our ways. We won't be defiled by death and critical and proud and always up in the mind. And we'll be at peace. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Oh, how wonderful the life of the spirit realm is. The life of the Lamb, who is our spirit, our life, our breath, our being now. How wonderful it is, how blessed it is to live by him, to live by the spirit realm, by his life, instead of that old, defiled, death creation, confusion, wars against the Lamb, lifts up itself, doesn't forgive people, it's so awful, it's a beast, but it was crucified and buried by Jesus. He did it. We receive it. He's in us. Let's learn to let him live. Let's learn how he lives. Let's join with him and reject joining with that which is already put away and buried. Let's allow the Lord to take new ground in our hearts, to be himself in us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for invading our earth. Invading our earth and moving into this earth so that you could have a home here, Lord. Father, we don't want to be as Mount Sinai when the presence of God landed and it was like a thunderstorm with blackness and trembling and spears and arrows and, oh my gosh, terrifying. Lord, we don't want to be a Mount Zion full of the law and understanding everything by what we see and what's right and wrong, so you can barely land. We want to be a Zion. We want to be a place where you can find rest forevermore, where you can find rest forevermore, Lord, where you can land inside our spirits, in our hearts, and you won't be an alien that's just causing crazy reactions in us. You'll be at home. You'll be loved. You'll be covered. You'll be sheltered. You'll find one after your own kind, and you'll live in oneness and peace and harmony and union and true, true life of the Lamb, true marriage, joining. Oh, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will help make these things real as the day we were born again, Lord. Refresh us with that. Refresh us with that first love, Lord, where we know and we knew and we weren't. And Lord, let that passion that reality. Let it be more than a remembrance. Let it be a lit candle in our spirit and heart. Let it ignite us, Lord, and let it take over. Let these things happen. And now in this season, Lord, where you're moving so deeply, use this time each day to transform us into your image until it is no longer I but Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, Amen. Amen.